something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
it's an introduction to News Guy.
We talk about flipping and fencing
and Gord's all jacked up on energy drinks. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, Dad. Well, I was at school yesterday, and I was with my friends, and there's one girl that I really like.
Right.
And we're talking, and
right.
I think we're steady now.
Go on.
I was just kind of wondering, the guys are saying to me, like, what time for first base, and what second base, and they're saying that. So what is, I don't really know what that means.
Son, to me it sounds like it's time for the talk. Have a seat at the end of your bed.
Dad, you gotta talk like that? Can you stop that talking?
Son, that's just my voice. I'm afraid that's just my voice. It's a voice that many who listen to the 6 o'clock news have come to trust and know.
That's what I mean, but since you got that job, like, there's videos I've seen of you, Mom, and you talking different.
I know, but when people see me in public, they see Tron Sherlock, Eyewitness 7. But I still want you to think of me as Dad. Have a seat at the end of your bed.
Okay, Dad, her name's Amanda, and she's really nice, and I was wondering I'm really worried about kissing. If I have to kiss, what am I supposed to do, you know?
Son, what I'm hearing is that it's time for the talk. When you go to school tomorrow, ask Amanda if she has the same feelings as you. If she does, proceed with caution, because consent,
Dad,
is very important.
Dad, when you talk like that, it's my brain turns off. I can't hear it. It's like when we're on an airplane and they start talking. I can't hear it.
I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do about my voice. If Amanda's on the same page as you, then find a way to make a date. Maybe you
go to
McDonald's for ice cream. Maybe you go for a walk. In any event, whatever you should choose to do, do it together.
It's like when I feel like I'm going to go on a ride and they tell you to put your seatbelt on. I forget what's happening. What are you saying when, like, that voice? I don't get it.
Son, I can't do anything about my dulcet tones. This is a rhythm and cadence that I've come to know and perfect through my career.
I can't hear it. I don't know what you're saying. Just stop talking like that.
What I'm saying is, there comes a time in a young man's life when it's time to take the plunge. Put yourself out there. Find a way to connect.
Tron! Clearly this isn't working. I mean, Devlin, go
to your room. Sweetheart, I'm talking to our son.
No.
Tron Sherlock, Eyewitness 7. My son's bedroom.
See, he doesn't hear a word you're saying. You don't you understand? You can't talk like that. You gotta stop talking like that.
There's nothing I can do about my voice.
Yes, you can. You gotta stop. The Georgian Bay course was 7 years ago. That's when you did your telecommunications course, and all of a sudden you're this guy.
But Sheila, this guy has always been here. If I recall correctly, it was you that encouraged me to go to school in the first place. That's where I learned to speak with a rhythm and cadence like this, and we both agreed at the time it would be best if I always talked like this. That way,
I don't
slip in and out of News Guy character. I just am him. When I bump into people at the grocery store, the hardware store, or walking in town, it's important to them. They have an encounter with Tron Sherlock, the Eyewitness 7 man they've grown to know and trust.
Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe you need a little more social interaction. Like, why don't you go golfing with your friends or something?
It's been a while. Guys, thanks so much for agreeing to come golfing with me on such short notice.
No problem.
I think we should try to avoid the 404 southbound. There's rumors of an accident around exit 38. Crews are on scene trying to get the car moved out of the lane. But in the meantime, we might want to take an alternate route.
Hey, come on. Listen. Tron, with the voice, you know.
We've been over this and over this. It's just my voice. I don't judge you for having a high-pitched nasally whine. You shouldn't judge me for having deep baritone.
And the, come on, man, your name was Ron. Like, what the hell is this, Tehran? What is that supposed to mean?
The hard consonant lends weight and gravitas. You think Stone Trump. Phillips would have been called One Phillips? It wouldn't have worked.
Okay, you know what? Let's just go to the golf course, okay? And
I need to stop to get some new balls.
Well, they're on sale. You can get those good ones, the fake ones, at Costco. $29 for two dozen.
When Tron Sherlock put his golf bag away last, it was full of golf balls. But on the morning of October 30th, when he went to get his golf bag out of the garage, something was amiss. Tron knew right away when he looked in the package and saw the emptiness. He saw the tees that were there, and also the glove. But what Tron didn't see is golf balls in his golf bag. Little did he know, that would lead him on a mystery that would take him several decades to resolve. Guys?
Ron, why are you staring like that? Well, you can't stop. You're not even blinking. You just start staring. There's no one there where you're looking. Like,
you're
not on TV.
Last decade, people have trusted me to tell their stories in their communities. And I just get excited about the idea of a thread on a sweater that begins to unravel and you don't know where the story will end.
Okay, Tron okay.
Sherlock,
hey.
Eyewitness 7.
All right. Here we are. First tee. Saturdays are for the boys. Ron, you might as well hit your first tee shot. You go ahead there.
When Tron Sherlock stepped up to the ball that fateful Saturday morning, what he didn't know is in one swing, in the blink of an eye, in one instant, everything would change forever. You see, he didn't realize his friend Greg was standing too close to his backswing.
Could you hurry
up? And when Ron
and
swung the club, it hit Greg in the face, changing everything.
Hey, looks like he just snaked it into the woods on the right there. That's not really worthy of sending out to anybody, is there, on the news?
When he turned to see Greg's face, he was surprised to see blood trickling down his cheeks. Greg was unconscious and rambling on the ground. Greg, are you okay? Tron said.
Listen, are you going to buy beers? Or are you going to just sit there in the cart, talking?
But beer wasn't the only thing that was ice cold that fateful October Saturday morning. Tron's friend's treatment of him could also be deemed that way.
Get out of here, Tron. You're out. I can't handle this guy anymore.
They said, and Tron turned on his heel, took his golf bag, and left. But no one, not his wife, not his son, not the boys, ever saw him again. For Eyewitness 7, I'm Tron Sherlock.
This guy, that's him.
I love News Guy.
He's too much.
I know, we've talked about... imagine, like, movie voiceover guy at the dinner table, which is a funny premise, too. But the idea of those guys who talk like that all the time, it's a very affected. It's the Entertainment Tonight cadence, too.
Yeah.
Hard to shake really when you start talking like that.
He's really selling everything.
Oh, he's overselling it, bud.
Yeah, big time. Poor kid, eh? Poor kid.
Trying to get the talk from a dad news guy.
And he can't remember, he can't hear a word.
Son, you take a condam.
Turns into instruction manual voice.
Yeah. How's it going, bud?
So how's it going? I'm just chilling out here after Halloween here, working in my November morning.
What did everyone go as?
Annalise was kind of like a vampire... like with long hair and a dress, and then she had horns, so it was pretty cool, and boots and stuff.
Yeah.
And Jack had the BoJack Horseman, you know, the horse head.
Oh yeah.
He was rocking that. And I think John last year was the big blow up dinosaur thing, you know that?
Yeah.
But this year, he was kind of like the first year where he's not into it as much.
Interesting. So
he was kind of like, because he's 13 and a half. So he was like, you know. So I ended up grabbing like the creepy old man mask that Jack used last year. The Uncle Bobby one. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. So at the last minute, the desire to have candy trumped.
Oh, yeah.
The desire didn't look uncool.
Yeah, so we had a little party here for Jack, and he had a few friends over. So they were all, like, playing video games in the basement, and they were like, and it was terrible weather. It was, like, blowing sideways and freezing cold rain pounding. It was the worst weather. That's why, remember, Montreal postponed it a day? Because they were getting hammered with the winds
that we did? Got
hammered with. Yeah. You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah, because they were getting, like, 100-kilometer-hour winds, like from, I think, 4 in the afternoon till midnight or something. And we didn't get it until later that evening, but it was terrible. Like, the wind was nuts. So it makes sense that they did that. But it was still kind of crappy, so we had to go in the car and just kind of rip around.
I have never heard of a city just collectively deciding, okay, we're going to postpone Halloween. It's probably the move.
Well, I mean, if you can't have a proper celebration, then why not? It's not. Yeah. It was Friday instead of Thursday, which is even better anyway. So anyway, the kids ended up feeling like, I think it was around 8 o'clock, and they're all in the basement going, and we went out with Annalise, and the boys were like, "Let's go, or else we're not going to go." So they ended up going out, and then we. Yeah, they went out for like half an hour, but everybody scored a big bag of candy. And John ate most of his candy in like one day, which was like, come on.
Do you police it?
Well, we try. Usually they're pretty good themselves. They don't really eat. Like, they still have candy from last year. So they don't normally crush it all. But John, for some reason, I think he was trying to do it for something. But he had the... And he didn't really get sick, and he didn't have a ton of candy, but I think it was mostly chips and stuff like that.
Right.
But, yeah, anyway, it was a good haul for the kids, and we're on to the next. Wonder what do you think woke Greg would do for Halloween? He wouldn't go out at all, right?
Oh, man.
He wouldn't be down with the
what would he give out for plastic. Halloween?
Probably, I don't know, like some way of how could he give something that would somehow affect helping them as opposed to like
ginger candies?
No, I would think of like, I don't know, like some way where they have to clean up on the rest of their trick-or-treating. You know what I mean? Like an incentive. Like, okay, guys, if you see a piece of garbage on the way back, you gotta pick it up.
He'd hand out blue bags?
Yeah, or like some kind of a way of life on a card.
Or metal straws.
Yeah, definitely. Some kind of way of every person has to be changed once they went past, because he's staying at his parents, right? In the back side door. It's a woke Greg Halloween.
Shug went as Uma from the Descendants 3 movie. Descendants is actually like it's a good idea. Kind of piratey.
Yeah, that's Dylan Playfair's in that, isn't he?
Yeah, big time. Yeah. And it's a movie about the kids of the villains. Are they all villains? Yeah, so Dylan plays Gaston's son, which is great casting. And Indy went as Freddie Bob Joe, an original character that she has created.
Nice.
With
that's great.
Dark hair and dark eyebrows and glasses and a leather jacket. Like, sort of think Danny Zuko from Grease.
Nice.
Like, sort of that look, but Freddie Joe Bob.
Yo. Like that
we look? We leave out an honesty bucket, as you know, on our porch, because we don't get many people. And this year was the first year that everything was gone.
Maybe it was one kid.
I think it was one kid.
The dirtball bag move?
I think it was the dirtball bag move.
Gross. I saw that on Twitter, a couple dirtball bag moves.
Yeah, but I think in our case, the reason we know that is because there was a note that said, help your spooky self, and the note was gone.
They even took the note?
Well, maybe, yeah, but if you're gonna dump the bowl into the bag, the note would probably go in it, right?
I bet you it was, yeah. It was probably the guy that told you to turn the light off in L.A.
Yeah, he followed us here. By the way, this was our ultimate conclusion on that. We did not leave a review. We did not get into it in the review.
Yeah.
We waited till the thing expired, and then we're going to send him a message and say, hey, man, you probably should warn people about the neighbor, and you could have at least gotten back to us, but we didn't want to torpedo you.
Nice.
Because it's a weird one. You don't want to get into a verbal shoving match on the internet with some guy.
No. Just leave it. Let it go. Just leave it.
Just let it go. But
experience.
I'll tell you something. It's not my instinct to let it go.
Yeah.
But it's the right move.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you know what I was thinking about today?
What?
Remember when we were kids and you rented the movies? And the weekend rental, like that was the move, because VCRs even back then were like $1,000. Remember, we rented the Laserdisc players for the 3 days at VideoFlix. Was that remember that place with the red and yellow sign, VideoFlix?
I don't know if I do remember VideoFlix.
I think that was like the national movie chain at the time. That rented.
I don't remember like VideoFlix.
The blockbuster of the 80s.
Don't remember it.
I remember my parents rented like Woodstock, Cheech and Chong, and like Fritz the Cat, which were both R-rated.
Whoa, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, when the Fritz the Cat was the worst. Because it was
were you like, guys allowed to watch them?
Well, we'd watch them during the day or by ourselves, right? You'd watch the movie at night, and then they probably watched them later, but we would watch them the next day, and it was like, what is this?
So you rented a laser disc player?
Yeah, those things were wicked, man.
We didn't ever have that.
The picture was awesome, and you could control it. You know, you could rewind it and fast forward it way quicker. It had like, it was no different than a CD. But because they were big, I guess it just never took off. Same with Beta. Like, Beta visually was a way better medium. It was, like, a better picture quality. And it just faded because VHS just was everywhere. It distributed better. Classic 80s comes and goes.
I know, but Beta Max, no one could afford to have a Beta player, right?
I know.
They were a fortune. Wicked.
And every editor used them forever, right after that. You'd see them always when you were doing videos and stuff. It was back to the
Beta. We sure shot a lot of Street Sense stuff on Beta. Like, if you're going out into the field, you would shoot with Beta tapes for sure.
Can you remember the video store names? I remember Bandito Video and Jumbo Video.
I remember Jumbo because they had free popcorn, and I've told you before, I almost got my friend 99 from Jumbo Video because the guy busted me using his card. He's like, you tell your friend he could have been 99'd. He asked me, like, what's your address? Because he was on to me, and I knew the address, and then he said, what's your postal code? And I was like, you son of a bee. And I had to come clean.
I think it then started to become, like, it was like $2 if you brought it back not rewound. And then they just fired on you. They'd fire it on your credit there if next time you came back. Oh, yeah, and you didn't rewind these two. Like, really? How greasy is that?
It was kind of like every time you went, you weren't sure what you were going to get into with late fees.
Yeah. And
you had no way of really arguing otherwise.
No, I know. And they just say it or either not. No, it says right here, you're 2 days late.
You owe $11.78.
Did you ever have one and never bring it back, like the big 30 bucks?
No. Did you?
Or like you said you did bring it back, but they're like, no, you didn't. And then it's like, you don't go there anymore.
Well, I think you just got, you got nothing, right?
Yeah.
There's no way to combat that.
You got to go to Videoflix. That's what you do.
You know who's a great character? Carol and I volunteer at the library at the girls' school. And I love doing it because you get to see the kids that you hear them talk about from time to time, like the nice ones and the not as great ones and the funny ones and whatever. There's mm-hmm. this kid who I really like in grade, he's in grade 5 now. And in the library, some of the kids are like, could care less, don't really want to be there. Some are really into it. Some take out the same book every week. That's what reminded me, because some kids try the, no, I brought that book back, tack, which, you know, might not be the entire story in some cases. There's this one kid who's really engaged, and every week he comes in and he's like, can you search a book for me? Sure. Digging Trenches? What? He always has some, like, how to build a lean-to. Can you search how to lure hummingbirds? Can you search how to make a zip line? He always has very specific ideas of what he wants to find in his books. And it's like, if it ever did become a Dateline episode, it would be like, well, in hindsight, now that I put these 30 searches together, I guess there were a few red flags. But he's just really into being outdoors and doing different stuff. It's wicked.
Can you search up kerosene and lamp and bag of lye?
Yeah. Hey, can you look up duct tape. Bone density? Okay. Can you look up how to make peat moss?
Can you look up average weight of a torso?
Yeah. Whoa. He's a great kid, and he was selling poppies this weekend, a giant tiger in uniform, because he's a cadet. And we went to go see him there, but his shift was over, and I was bummed out because I was really psyched. Here is the revelation that I had on Halloween, and it's kind of the same as going to Giant Tiger to buy a poppy from this guy because you said you would. Many of the houses that we went to with the girls, and Indy was a little like, can you come with me? I'm feeling kind of weird about it. It is a weird one. It is a weird holiday. And it's inherently spooky, and it is kind of counter everything you tell kids, right? Yeah. Just go up to stranger's house and whatever.
Yeah.
Most of the places that we went, the people that opened the door said, have fun tonight. And it's a little thing, but I think your kids' trust of the world is born out of positive encounters with strangers. And it's not something that you necessarily want to encourage a lot, but it makes me feel so good when they have an encounter with a stranger in the world and it's a positive one.
Yeah.
Because it just, I don't know, it just kind of underlines that there are more positive, good people than bad ones. And you want them to be aware of the bad ones, but you don't want them to be paralyzed with fear.
Yeah. Well, that's why Halloween's good. It's more, that's the best part of what Halloween is you kind of meet your neighborhood, and it's nice to see that everybody's cool and, you know, happy to make an effort to say hello.
I dig it.
And then you see the black houses that are just dark, all the lights out. Like, do not come in here. Did you ever pull that one ever?
I mean, if I've run out of candy and it was late in the evening, maybe. But never, like, I am not acknowledging Halloween this year. Like, never like that.
Bad mood bears guy? Just like, no, not tonight. I'm trying to think back if there was a Ronnie Halloween where he was not feeling it. But he was usually pretty cool with, like, dressing up a little bit even.
So what do you do? Do you leave the honesty bucket so you can both go out?
No, we always have, because it's Jack's birthday, there's always so many people here. Like, usually our friend Michelle, who had the Rebel Pups, She's here right. with her daughter Erica and her son Quasi. So there's like always, and Wendy comes over, our neighbor, or John. So there's always a few people that, if we go out, there's people at the house still to give out candy.
Right.
So it's, yeah, and usually there's not that much action where on our road because it's not in the quieter kind of streets and crescents. It's more of a major road, so there's less people, and there's not a sidewalk on my side of the road, so it's a little disconnected, so you get some action, but it's nothing like if you were living right in the middle of the neighborhood, like by the school.
What did you fellas give out?
We gave out a collection of, like, I guess the Hershey bars, all that kind of stuff, and then we Hershey bars to Reese's cups and all that stuff, and then gum and lollipops and all that. You know, a bag of each of those kind of things to fill out the concept of candy bars.
Like full sizers or the little guys?
The little guys, but good handfuls, right? Always yeah. solid handfuls. I think we went through four boxes of the 50 packs.
Holy cow. How many masks did you have?
Well, like I said, it's handfuls and there's a party going on. So, like, there's the kids will crush some of that anyway. I think Jack had a party of about five buddies, four or five, including John, too. So they were kind of grazing on it. But I think we had a bit of a bowl left still. But yeah.
There you go.
I don't know how many kids we get. If I would guess, they come in clumps of two, threes. But, and it goes pretty steady from 6:30 till about, I don't know, 8:30, 9. It starts to slow down.
There you go.
But it's not as crazy as if you go in the neighborhood where it's just like in the movies where you see people all over the place. Just crowds going around. And
yeah, there are a few of those around.
Yeah.
And there's like the wealthy street in Truro. Yeah. People like drive there and park there and take their kids door to door there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a greasy move, the drop in. We don't live in this neighborhood, but we're here to jack your candy.
Yeah.
But some of those people, that's where Indy's piano teacher lives, and some of them get 300 people a night. That's a lot.
Yeah. I saw a lot of kids that weren't even dressed up because it was raining. So you had just like kids in ponchos ripping around. Rain.
Well, that was the worst. Remember when you were a kid and you have a costume, but you have to wear a parka because it's so cold?
Yeah. Well, it was like that for sure. But we were just get in the car, get out of the car. Quick rips.
Sneaky quick rips. Quick rips. Driving rips. There you go, bud. Let's take a break.
Hold on. Parent-teacher night a couple weeks ago. The librarian there said Canadianity's been out the whole year.
No way.
Yeah, the kids are loving it.
The kids are taking it out?
Yeah, the kids are reading it straight up. It's out all the time, they say. Love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. We had an unexpected little boost from Audible.
Yes, the Audible buds gave it away to all their members.
Yeah.
As a gift. So, yeah. It's super now nice. It's a bestseller in both categories now. How about that?
That's so crazy.
It is crazy. Thanks to the
buds. I like getting out the there. Messages from people saying, hey, I'm in Regina and I did a couple things from the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes me feel good.
And actually, the buds, Jay and Dan, were doing shows in, I think, Saskatoon to Winnipeg. And they said they were having a blast. We saw some buds out there which bud? The bud in, was a Calgary bud or a Saskatoon bud that got the bud shirt actually signed by Toolsy to round out the budism on the shirt. Good stuff.
Yeah, Neil.
Yes,
got his shirt signed by Toolsy. Right.
Yes.
He has quite a few ciggies on that thing.
I know, it's dialed. Does he have like Mansbridge on there?
I don't know.
Or like Ron McLean or something? I think it's pretty...
I don't know.
There's some depth to it. Good stuff.
It's got a lot of ciggies.
A lot of ciggies.
Looks like they had a great turnout for their tour. Not surprised. I'm sure it's a fun night out. We both did the Skype drop-in to their Alberta shows. That was really fun.
Yeah, that was cool. We one of these days, one of these years, we got to do some shows together because it would be a great experience for both fan bases to have a great time.
Can it be called the Four Banger?
Yeah, maybe, right?
Jay and Dan and T and T.
Yeah, Four Banger. Exactly. Four Banger Tour. Love it. Love those guys. Hey, let's take a break, eh?
Take a break, Matt.
Fucking ready.
Hey, Bernie.
Oh, hey, Gord. How are you? Yeah, I'm good. Let me get the door for it. The wind coming in the window.
Can you just give me a hand and take this Monster Energy drink? I've had a few pulls on it, and I'm feeling pretty fired up.
You're drinking energy drinks now, are you,
just give me a hand to get my doctor said it might give me a little bit of a boost, and up through the window I go.
Okay.
What you up to, Bernie?
Oh, you know, just working on, Bruce's tour, but, you know, getting you some dates.
Bruce's tour? You doing charity work, in other words, are you?
Really funny. No, he's doing some West Coast dates here.
Don't care. Listen, I heard a song on the radio on my drive down here. Do you know this one? It's like, head and shoulder, look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back, she said, shut up and dance with me.
Yeah, I know, that's Shut Up and Dance With Me, that song there. Yep.
Shut up and dance with me. I like that part where he says, shut up and dance with me.
You like that part, do you?
Actually, the part that I really like of the song is when he says, this woman is my destiny.
All right.
And then he goes up high and he says, oh, shut up and dance with me.
Wow, you got a lot of energy today, Gord. You all right?
I guess it must be the Monster Energy drink that I took a couple pulls on the drive over. My doctor's right. It's not energy my body's producing, but I can't lie. I am feeling kind of fired up.
Well, geez, you're sitting on a...
With
you're standing on a...
Victims of the night. The chemicals has echoed kryptonite.
Do you mind standing on the chair like that?
Get up and dance with me.
Gord, take it easy. So what do you think? Should I book the Red Rocks for Bruce?
Oh, Bernie, don't look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I think you're holding back. So shut up and dance with me.
You should cover that song. Maybe the kids
Bruce
would like
Coburn
that.
Bruce Coburn is my destiny.
Okay. Look, can I finish my work here, please?
Listen to this lyric from the song. You ready? It's poetry, and I guess it's very rare these days that a song comes along and rings my bell and captures my imagination the way this one has.
And makes you dance around the room, for crying out loud. You're jumping all over the place.
A backless dress and some beat-up sneaks. My discotheque, Juliet, teenage dream.
Take it easy, Gord.
Beat-up sneaks. I mean, who even thinks of that kind of imagery? Not since drops of Jupiter in someone's hair has my imagination been so captured.
Here, give me that drink. I don't think you should be drinking.
Come on, dance, Bernie. Come on, dance, Bernie.
I can't dance. I'm not dancing.
You're holding back. Come on, Bernie. I said put down that pen and just come on and dance, Bernie.
Wow, I mean, I appreciate the energy and everything here, but come on, Gord.
That
I
song
really gotta...
reminds me of the song, do you remember a couple years ago, do you know Coldplay?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know the guy who married the Goop woman?
Yeah, Chris
Martin. She wrote this stuff, and it was like, if you're not using this $5,000 baby changing table, then what are you even doing with your life? Like that kind of unconscious coupling instead of breaking up. Like, she uses weird words that only the privileged can afford.
That's Gwyneth Paltrow you're talking
about. That's it. That's the one. Right. Her father was another Bruce, as I recall.
I believe you're right. Yes.
Anyway, they broke up, and he started... sticking his bird into all kinds of different places, but he wrote a song that reminds me of that. Shut up and dance with me. And the song was, did you hear the, I've been reading books of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Hercules and his scales, Spider-Man's control, and Barry with his face, and clearly those hammers have a weapon at least.
What's that, Pitbull?
No, it's Coldplay.
Oh!
She said, where you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? On a looking bosom, but it was never human games. Remember that one?
I don't. Do you know any Pitbull?
Let me get to the hook. It has more hooks than a tackle box.
Okay. Okay, Gord, just sit down.
I want something just like this. Shut up and dance with me. I want something just like this. Just shut up and dance with me.
Okay, Gord, now that
I was a DJ, I would probably do, what's it called? A mash boat? A mash boat of those two songs together. I want something just like this. Shut up and dance with me.
Listen, I have a proposition for you. If Shoppers Drug Mart, they want to use if you could read my mind, for a campaign, is for next fall, it's $50,000, and they just want to use the song in three spots.
I don't know if that works for me. Because you remember we said no to Anderson Windows when they asked if they could use If You Could Read My Blinds.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay. So, yeah, that would be a no then. Or is it a yes?
Well, I think it would be. We said no to Via Rail when they wanted to use Trainy Day People.
Yeah, that was a bit of a stretch, though.
For the song. We said no to Byway when they asked if they could use Carefree Byway.
Oh, that's right. But that was a good one. That was a good idea, Gord. Not was unlike it? The the Bargain Heralds. Remember they wanted to use the song, I believe they wanted to use, I'm pretty sure it was Sundown, to talk about how their hours were changing.
Well, remember how Funtown in Saco, Maine asked if they could use Funtown, you better get wet, because it's a splash park?
And well, the Weather Network wants to use Rainy Day People too, Gord. I mean,
that's actually a good idea. I would sign off on that.
Oh, you would?
I would sign off on that. Sure, I would. Do you know what song I've been listening to lately a lot?
What's that, Gord?
I do my hair, toes, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? I feel good as hell.
What's that?
It's Lizzo. I'm not sure if that's her first name or her last name, but she's going for like a Cher thing.
Could you sing some more of it for me? Lizzo, I like that.
I do my hair, toes, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? I feel good as hell. Hair, toes, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? Good as hell. And then she does this, whoa, child, tired of the bullshit. Go on, dust your shoulders off, keep it moving. Yes, Lord, trying to get some new shit in there. Swimwear, go into the bullshit. Come on now, dry your eyes.
Take it easy,
you
Gord,
know you're
Gord.
A star, you can touch the sky. I know it's that hard, but you have to try. If you need advice, let me simplify. It's kind of an anthem for best friend like your girl squad.
You're on my desk right now, Gord.
If he don't
love
you anymore.
Just stop stomping on my desk! Stop it! You're breaking my desk!
I like it because it has a built-in dance move. Anyway, Bernie, I can tell that you're kind of busy, so I'm going to Good Life Fitness to pop a few squats.
Okay, be careful of the guy that was working out there, remember?
Shut up and dance with me!
Hey, bye, Gord!
Yeah, give me a hand out the window real quick, will ya? You know what? I got it. I'll just jump.
Yeah. Jeez! So spry!
Gord was amped!
He was fired up on the monster.
I'm kind of fired up, too. It's Monday morning, and I've pounded a few cups of coffee. We switched to almond milk in our house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I like the almond milk.
We're off the cow milk.
It's good almond milk.
It's good almond milk.
It is.
Are you guys non-cow milk drinkers?
We have regular guy milk. We usually drink 1%.
Okay.
And then light cream.
Okay.
For the coffee. But I try the almond milk. I drink it sometimes. I don't like soy milk. Not a fan of that.
See, we don't have the soy milk. We have the almond milk.
Yeah, the almond milk.
I don't even know what preempted the change, but I'm digging it.
Have you tried the almond chocolate milk?
Yes.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's good times.
It's a tenth thicker, a little bit.
Taggart.
Yeah?
What is happening with your fence in the backyard?
Well, I got the posts in. Some big posts. It's 100 feet on one side.
Lord.
And, 13 sections of 8 feet.
Lord. And
I bought the wood. I got it on sale at Lowe's. 20% off.
Nice.
Saved myself a little $350 for fence boards and 2x4s.
What did you get for... Okay, so... And it's pressure treated.
Yep. And the posts were $30 a piece. They're 6x6s, 10 feet.
Yikes. How many feet into the ground did you put them?
They're 4 feet in. So 6 feet is hanging out.
Right, so they're not going anywhere.
No.
Solid. You'll have to wait a year till you paint it. Let the weather get at it a little bit.
You mean like the pressure treat paint? Or like the... Isn't the fence boards already painted?
Well, if you're going to stain them, like put a color stain on them or a Varathane or something, I think they tell you to let it sit for a year.
All right.
Till it settles in.
I'm going to let Jet and Elliot come here, and we'll decide what we're going to do on that front. Probably.
So you're gonna actually be involved in the putting up of the fence.
I am, yeah. I'm going to see what's going on here. You should have saw me watching the posts go in.
Why, what were you doing?
I was just watching like crazy. Not doing anything, but watching. They got it like a... The sight lines are perfect from one end to the next. The laser beams.
Crazy how they do that.
Yeah. And they had them in and out of here. They did it in probably 2.5-3 hours. Pretty quick.
The postman?
I know if I was doing that, it would probably take me 3 weeks.
They
had a couple of those guys look like they may or may not have, like, done some time.
Okay.
And, there was a guy with the big drivable thing, the auger. Right, and then there was one guy started putting his own post, like with one of those things that you stick in the ground, you push together and pull up, you know, those things that scoops.
Yep.
He got a full fence post hole by himself. I saw him do it in it felt like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, like crazy. Yep. Just like ripping into the ground like nothing. Nuts.
I love those dudes. I always feel like when I have someone at, for example, we had a gentleman here this past week. We have a water softener. So we had a guy come to service the water softener. And I always want to walk the fine balance between knowing that I like to hang out and chat, but never wanting them to feel for a second like I'm hovering over their shoulder because I don't trust them. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to always give them lots of space to do their job, but also not be like, yeah, it was weird. He didn't even say anything.
Yeah. Well, you feel it out, right? These guys were like happy not to talk.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. It was almost
they did not want to talk.
You go stand over there, and we'll be gone soon. That was the... And I'm fine with that, because they're crushing it. I'd prefer that than, like, feeling like I have to... You know, they want to make me feel better or whatever. It's like, just, no, crushing it.
Like the gear pigeon comes to install
something at your house and wants to talk about drumming.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they were like. These guys were like, had that feeling of like they were in ward off that guy mode. Like, don't try that stuff off the top. So yeah. Like, I think if there was that guy, he or she wouldn't have a good day for the gear pigeoning.
So they just shut it down.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, not all of a sudden not replying to you anymore.
I'm undergoing
the fake phone call. What's that?
What's the fake phone call? Oh, when you fake phone call comes up and you just have to take it?
Yeah, like putting the phone to the ear and I'm like, I don't think it rang, but
sorry guys, I have to grab this.
Yeah.
Talking. We're doing a flip.
Oh yeah.
We're buying a place in Halifax that has great bones, as they say. It's probably the house that needs the most work on a great street, which is kind of an ideal scenario. Partnering up with my friend Mike to do it. He's going to do most of the work. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting.
You're going to have to get your yard pants and get over there and clear it out, eh?
I know. It needs a full gut. It's one of those like as is, where is, got it before it hit the market kind of thing. It has been like uninhabited, I think, for the last 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But has like fireplace and crown moldings and hardwood floors and all the things you would want.
How old is it? How old's the house?
Oh, she's 1800s, bud. Pretty classic. Wow. Halifax house. Yeah.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, but it is both nerve-wracking and exciting. It seems on paper like it should be a no-brainer, but I am prepared for one of two things to happen. One, we get in there and find out that the, I don't know, foundation is completely destroyed or something. Mm-hmm. Like some big didn't-see-it-coming thing, which would be a bit of a donkey fister.
Do you think it's haunted? Or the other haunted AF?
Yep, could be that. Or it could also be we get in there and flip it, and then I don't want to part with it because I really like it and am happy with it. Also, not the move.
That would be a good show, Haunted AF.
It actually would be a great show.
And that's every time in the movie or the show, they say, man, this place is haunted as fuck.
This place is haunted AF. Do you believe in ghosts? Hey.
Yeah, I've had plenty of experiences to feel that there's like an energy, you know, either a scar of energy that continues or lost energy, you know. I believe in events happening and making an imprint, you know what I mean? Like in radio frequency ways where it's like it's just there continually. But
go on. I've
definitely felt.
I want to understand that. What does that mean?
Well, like if, I don't know, like if, say, it's a tragic event happens where there's a lot of people and a lot of energy, negative energy, it can kind of just stay there as a scar in time, in a sense.
Interesting. And, you
know, some people probably think that's full of crap, but me being kind of a person who, as a musician, has to tap into that stuff where it's just energy and trying to feel stuff and trying to get a sense of energy while you're playing or communication. And that's kind of the same thing where it's just undeniable sometimes where you feel weird, you know. I went to one of those haunted walk deals on Halloween or on the first with Lisa at Black Creek Pioneer Village.
With the kids or just the two of you?
Just me and Lisa. It's an adult deal where it's just kind of you go in and they bring in like the stuff, like the electromagnetic readers and the spirit bell. They just show you different ways that people tried in the past to now to communicate with spirits, I guess. So you go into this halfway house, which is built in 1860 or something, and it was a halfway house, a coach house that was halfway between Kingston and Toronto. And they brought that building along with all the other buildings for that Black Creek Village is just all old buildings from Southern Ontario. But this place is, as soon as you walk into it, it's haunted AF. Like, you could sense, like, there was a lot of, like, walking up in just a cold area feeling, or just, like, just a vibe of, like, man, this place is just rife with energy. But,
do you find that scary or comforting or neither? Just an observation.
Well, it's I don't know if it's comforting, but it's just it's interesting, and it kind of makes sense in a way of, you know, sometimes you're walking around or you're trying to sleep and you wake up and you feel creeped out, and it's happened sometimes, and I don't know why or what, but instead of it just denying it and saying it's nothing, I feel that it's possibly something it's definitely recognizable, because every time it happens, it's the same kind of feeling. So,
have you ever felt it in your house?
In the old house, when it was the cabin, it was kind of had moments of weirdness. We actually had people come and walk through it and sage the place because of weird feelings.
When?
It was kind of when we rebuilt it. Just
wow.
Just in case styles. Just to scrub the place of any ill feeling.
And are they like, "Oh yeah, for sure there's a couple things here?"
Yeah. Yeah. She came through and just sensed just certain rooms had a vibe, and she, you know, whatever. I don't even know how they gauge it or whatever. She had been doing it through her family. She was native and had like a real sense of each room, and certain places she would bring the tobacco and sage and burn it, and she said that it felt different after. And I think it, like, even if you hear that, almost it's enough, you know what I mean, to feel to have a good feeling in your house. And I do know that when we did build it, and when we built everything, and a lot of the stuff that we put in here, we liked, whether it be a light or a fixture or something, that has a good feeling that we brought it in. So I do feel this house has a good vibe anyway, but just in case styles.
Wow. So you brought in like a vibesman.
Vibes styles, yeah. Can't hurt, right?
No.
A lot of people do it a lot when they're selling houses, just to kind of, because someone who's buying it is and are 100% into that stuff, you have to, whether it's feng shui or whether it's, a lot of those styles, the decorating styles, have to do with energy and flow, and like trying to keep a constant positive throughout the household. Like they say in feng shui, it's bad to flush your toilet too much.
Really? Like
the suction of water takes away energy in some regard, and if you do it too much, it's like a negative space creates.
Do you respect that in your home?
I try not to flush the toilet too much. Yeah. Well, I won't leave a loaf in there or pee or something, but you know, like if you're throwing a cotton ball in there or something or whatever else, I won't flush it.
Crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it?
I would say because our house is new, I haven't felt any feelings of previous presences here. It was just a farm field. I am not ruling it out as, you know, I don't not believe, but I would say I'm more apt to notice when something is feels good as opposed to when something feels bad.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's why I equate it to music, you know, because that's when you're playing music, it's only feel, and you feel good or bad or positive or negative in that. It doesn't have to be emotional in the same regard as like somebody tells you something bad. But even notes or when you're playing time, it can feel good or bad, but it's not the same good or bad as like someone tells you to get lost. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like it's, we shot. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's just like you're as a musician with playing with other people, you're constantly trying to communicate and find ways to communicate through your instrument, and eventually stuff happens where you play with someone for long enough, it's effortless, and you go places where you never did previously technically. Like you play something new, but the other person is right there playing something completely new that they haven't played before yet. It's kind of like you are trying to say something, and you are saying something like a language, but you've never had the words before, but there they are. Does that make any sense?
Did you happen to listen to Tom Power's interview with Neil Young, by the way?
I didn't, but I heard it was great. It always is with Tom.
It was great.
Yeah?
And with Neil. This is the interesting thing. I don't think I am over analyzing it to say it was going okay, but maybe not awesome at first. I think he is well documented to be... not a prickly sort, but doesn't suffer fools. And
he's prickly, right? For sure. Oh yeah, yeah. He can. Yeah, be,
could
yeah.
go off the rails, or you could hear him saying like, "I don't. What are you even talking about?" So yeah. I would say Tom is in Newfoundland. He's working on a record. Neil was in California, and they said bye, like it was kind of over. And then Neil said something like, "How's the record going, by the way?" And Tom said, "It's good. You know, we're playing off the floor." And Neil said, "Well, that's a good thing." In the interview, Neil had said, "I think that everyone knows the song. You come into the studio and you record the song, and then you stop. Like, you know, first take even. And if things happen that you didn't expect, that was just part of it."
Yeah.
So he asked Tom if. How it was going. Tom said it's going well. We're recording live off the floor. You know, sometimes hard to get the right mix in the headphones or whatever. And Neil Young says, "Well, that's your mistake right there. You shouldn't be wearing headphones." And Tom said something about, you know, the drag being sometimes the bleed from the headphones. And Neil Young said, "The bleed is where the magic is, man. Take your headphones off. Listen to the people playing. Like I always say, if I can't hear the drums... I take a step closer to the drummer."
Yeah.
And if I can't hear the guitar, I do the same thing. It was really interesting because obviously specifically it was about recording a record, and the bleed is where the magic is very specific to recording in this context. But when you you can extrapolate from that a little bit is it's about connection. And how hard it is to have a genuine connection nowadays. He said, and I love this too, "The last thing the world needs is another perfect record. Put out something that you felt at that moment when you recorded it. And if it's not perfect, that's what makes it awesome."
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. That's personality, yeah, for sure. And I think when you're playing together, especially if you can hear everybody, the where you're playing becomes a big deal. You know, the room you're in.
Yeah.
You know, that's why studios are they use certain places, right? Just because the room sounds amazing. Unexplainably why. Sometimes it's by design. Like, say, for example, all the BBC... studios in England, or famous studios around the world, or even Metalworks here in Toronto. Like the room has a vibe that it's almost like a photograph. If you were like a bat or something, how they visualized, how they see, just how it is reflections off of all the spaces around it. And it's not even, it's just perfect for the room. It's just an interesting thing how when sound comes out of something, it's more about when it hits the walls and comes back. That becomes the important part. Because if it's just you hit a guitar chord on an amp and it just close mic, do you just hear exactly what comes out of it compared to 4 or 5 feet away from it and giving the room more of a voice? Like, say, for example, like when the levee breaks, they recorded those drums out in the either a bathroom or a lobby of the studio they were in. That was just this high ceiling of just concrete. So the drums it gave the drums all this extra room and character in a way. Like the In the Air Tonight Tom Phil. It's in that, like, the Village studio that Fleetwood Mac created, this reverb room, which was like, I don't know, super tall, like 50 feet up or whatever, but all concrete everywhere. And that's where they would get these crazy natural reverb sounds.
The bleed's where the magic is, man.
Yeah.
I got a Bose GT1 guitar effects processor. Man, is that ever fun.
Yeah.
And I realized you can hide some really bad playing in cool effects.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
In a way, like the folk thing, when it's so exposed, if you hit a clam, it's over.
Well, the other thing is sometimes...
But with some of these, like, crazy effects, you can just hide.
Like, Neil Young's a great example of someone who has, like, a masterfully fantastic tone and guitar tone, where I think he uses the same amp or the same amps all the time. I've heard stories of him, like, putting springs underneath the stage and miking so if he stomps his feet, it'll add reverb to the sound.
No way.
The natural sound of the stage. And then other stuff where the tone is so amazing that he doesn't have to really play as many notes. The vibe is so that much there, just hitting one string or a couple strings. It just sounds so great.
That's all you need, bud.
Yeah. Like David Gilmour. It's like, really? You don't really need to know the song that he's playing. If you see him live, you'll just be like, what the hell's going on here? Like, he's only playing 8 notes, but it's just so entertaining. It's crazy.
Well, I can play 8 notes, bud.
Yeah, but that's
good
the
job,
thing.
Bud.
Play the same notes. Same 8 notes. Good stuff, bud. Good talking, eh?
Good talking, eh? We're going to have to make plans sooner rather than later. When did people drop the rather from that expression? I notice people say sooner than later now.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make plans sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
For our 200th episode.
I know. We're only 6 more away. 200.
Look at you, math bot.
Yeah, look at you, 200s. What are we going to do?
Jeremy Taggart, it was great talking to you.
It's going
to
be around...
Talk to you again next week.
It's going
to
be around Christmas time, I think, right?
Oh my gosh. Let's see if we can do a festive special at a Swiss Chalet for our 200th episode.
Oh, wouldn't that be swank? Let's do it.
I'm going to fire up the Twitter machine at them right now.
Let's do it. All right. Talk to you next week, bud.
Good job, bud.